in to Africa Kabisa, Boston's African music radio show for the genuine ambiance of Africa and beyond. Nowhere else on the dial can you find this mix of African and Afro-Caribbean rhythms, plus interviews and everything you want to know about African events happening in the area. I'm your host, Julia, inviting you to join me every Sunday for Africa Kabisa. That's Africa, absolutely, right here on WMBR Cambridge 88.1 FM and streaming live at WMBR.org.
Y tenemos anuncios para esta semana. We have announcements for this week. Let's get started. Tomorrow we have an emergency rally to Repower America. Saturday, March 14th, tomorrow from 3 to 4, Massachusetts State House, 24 Beacon Street, Massachusetts, but here in Boston. We're asking for 100% clean energy in the next 10 years. So please join Massachusetts Power Shift on the south step of the Massachusetts State House as we rally to draw attention on this very important goal. Mañana de las 3 a las 4 ahí en la State House ahí en Massachusetts, de Massachusetts en la calle Beacon número 24, habrá un rally para pedir que el Estado apoye la meta de tener 100% de electricidad limpia en los próximos 10 años. Por favor, acompáñenos para que esta causa tome un poquito más de voz y su voz sea escuchada también.
And I have another announcement, which is an MIT-related announcement, but it's an event that's open to the general public, and it's called Medical Simulation and Training for the Developing World, and it's with the CIMIT Simulation Group, and the speaker is Ryan Scott Bardsley. It's going to be on next Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m. in N51, which is a building on MIT campus. You can find it, like, using Google, and it's... And Ryan Bardsley is the systems manager at the CIMIT simulation group at Mass General Hospital. And his lecture, Medical Simulation and Training for the Developing World, will explore the convergence of open source architectures, microcontrollers, pervasive connectivity, and affordable fabrication technologies to introduce medical simulation to poor countries.
Thank you, Mary. So yeah, we had an amazing show today. Thanks for everyone who tuned in and listened to us. And you're more than welcome to call us at 617-253-8810 if you have any questions. And you guys can catch all our shows on our website, which is, Roy, can you tell us?
WMBR.org archives. Or we can also do the web.mit/hemisphere and go there to the Spherio section. And just to... finalize things up, we like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. Hasta luego.
All right, great. Okay, so we'll talk to you guys next Friday. Bye.
And we're going to end with some music, which is a song by Owain Fife, Lágrimas de Sangria.
Florece y la soga se revienta. Cuando el mor llega así de esta manera, uno no se da ni cuenta. Que garota reverdece, el guamanchito florece y la soga se revienta. Caballo de danza vara, que está y cansado, pero no se dan ni cuenta que un corazón amorado, cuando le suelten las riendas, es caballo desbocado. si una potra la sana, va viejo se encuentra.
مرحبا في Music for Human. I'm a Dr. Jalis Sakran and I welcome you. I'm very pleased to be joined by Ivan the Mellow. Ivan, welcome.
And I'm very glad to be here.
Thank you, Ivan.
You're welcome, Ali. And I would like to welcome my comrades to this program. Привет.
Thank you, Ivan. I'm a Dr. Jalis Sakran, transdermal mediator. And I hope you are all having a relatively peaceful evening. Ivan, so tell us a little bit about yourself. You are, of course, from Siberia.
Of course. I'm known for my exquisite tastes in vodka.
Vodka and crystals.
Of course.
And crystals, of course, with their healing powers. Now, do you find that together the vodka and the crystals have some multiplicative healing effect?
I would have to agree with you. Vodka and crystals are an indomitable mix that is to be savored, and you really have to set up the right kind of environment.
You mean like the mood has to be correctly set with candles and incense and perhaps, well, I know that in particularly in Siberia, but also in other parts of Russia, that the people tend to, it's very traditional that one will have a hot sauna and then afterward will go and roll around naked in the snow and beat oneself with fir branches.
Yes, it's incredibly sensual in that way.
But it's also very healthful. It's very very good for the health.
No question about it. And speaking of the right kind of environment, you do have to also put on the right kind of decor, if you will. So what I have in mind is Soviet garbs, of course, plenty of vodka, caviar, red flags.
And all of these things serve to help encourage a particularly precise focus on oneself and to help center you in your existence.
You mediate on the nature of Soviet realism posited within the environs of your senses. It's a feeling that is difficult to describe.
And presumably somewhat difficult to overcome. I know that many people, when they move from Russia to other countries, they retain Russian qualities. And there's a certain Russian hood that never really leaves the Russian patriot.
Yes and no. I would like to say that you do tend to assimilate certain new trends and values.
But I mean that the second generation Russian is never really quite the same as the Russian who was born in Russia and moved to another country. I think that's a difficulty that many cultures have to embrace.
Yes, of course. I mean, I cannot overcome my vodka drinking traits. It's something that is just ingrained within the DNA.
And there it is. And of course, in many traditional Russian folk tales, vodka drinking is prominent.
It is.
As are myths having to do with river goddesses and firebirds and the spirit of the forest and of the attic.
The spirits of the attic are particularly relevant here.
Because they are the ones that are pacified with offerings of vodka.
Yes. Can I have some?
Well, for anyone that would like to join in, our number is 617-253-8810. And that, of course, is the tone of absence. We have two open lines, so anyone that would like to call in and query either Ivan the Mellow or Diktor Jalis Sakran is welcome to. Of course, Ivan, I've known that another thing that's very important for the Russian spiritual experience is the fish.
Yes. So, something that is of utmost importance, I would like to say, is a fish called Wobbler. And you have to be able to savor the delicate and the exquisite taste of this particular pescatory creature with vodka, because it enlightens the senses to an extent, again, that is difficult to describe in words.
And of course, I imagine that temperature is a very vital thing in the whole of the experience there. Let's bring another voice in on this here. Caller, welcome to the air. Hello, caller. I think we have lost our caller to the ether. But again, returning to the fish, caller, well, unfortunately, there seems to be a high amount of intracranial interference. But again, to the fish. The fish, of course, very important in many cultures and belief systems. The fish, of course, one of the many symbols of Jesus in the Christianity belief system, and also one of the avatars of Krishna, and many, of course, there's the element in the astrological system, whether you believe in these things or not, it's a symbolic creature. The fish.
The gefilte fish is particularly symbolic, I would have to say.
What would the gefilte fish symbolize? I mean, if the fish symbolizes life and rebirth and a very sincere spiritual essence, the essence of the water, the idea of drinking without consuming, and of eating smaller members of your own species, the gefilte fish would represent, I suppose, some preserved form of all of these qualities.
It's the essence.
The essence of the essence.
Yes.
A sort of
Eucharistic zeal, if you will.
A Eucharistic zeal. Well, if I may, for a moment, guide all of our listeners on an image of becoming a fish, entering the water, and seemingly effortlessly gliding through the water. Of taking the path of least resistance, gliding downward, seeing perhaps a small worm ahead of you, eating it, delicious, just being a fish.
And being eaten, of course.
Well, sure, maybe you're caught and fried, and it's all part of the universe. And fish is delicious. It's very healthy. I have many people I know refuse to eat fish on the grounds that it's cruel. But this is an argument that I think holds very little weight.
I would have to agree with you. It takes courage to eat fish and to savor that sensation.
Let's bring another voice into this. Caller, welcome to the air.
I just want to say, excuse me, I'll turn my radio down. I just want to say that I think that everybody's eating all the time.
Yes, welcome, Robert. That we are all eating constantly.
Yeah.
And there is some core truth to this. And it's seemingly that we all have an emptiness that we crave to fill. But we are unable to do so.
Sure. If you say so.
Well, this is a point that I've brought up many times in the past, and that is that we, all of us, without exception, are simply tubes, glorified tubes.
In a
very, very real, topological sense, we are tubes, and we crave to be filled in many ways, spiritually, physically, gastrologically.
Gastroenterologically.
And emetically. And we...
All I heard was end.
We remain unfilled despite our best efforts, despite... And I feel that it's very important to embrace this emptiness. Just as the fish embraces the emptiness, the water comes in... Well, yes, they do eat, but they...
Well, some fishes just, like, eat little stuff that's in the water, like, all the time. Like, they don't even really eat. They just eat stuff that's in the water all the time.
So you mean they eat constantly?
They just maybe not constantly. Maybe there's like less like, or like if you eat plankton.
Plankton.
Like da, if you comrade. Suck on the rocks.
And we all breathe, and I don't see what's so non-spiritual about breathing.
Good.
I certainly would not like to encourage anyone to stop breathing for the sake of enlightenment, as you seem to be suggesting.
What have I suggested?
That we should stop breathing.
Breathing?
Breathing.
Breathing?
Breathing.
Breathing?
Breathing.
Breathing.
Well, I think we should all seek enlightenment while breathing.
While breathing? Seek enlightenment while breathing?
Well, both, to be frank.
You know, inhaling, exhaling.
Well, I have no comment. This is your radio show. I'm just calling because I like talking.
Robert, it's you know, even though I'm here in the studio, the show, it's not about me disseminating my belief system on breathing. If you believe that
breathing?
On inhalation, exhalation,
everything happens all the time.
I think that's very difficult to dispute.
Thanks.
And like the duck, we all breathe. But, Robert, again, about meditation. First of all, do you meditate?
I don't know, this radio show's sketchy.
Sketchy.
Why don't you go into the archives?
Well, Robert,
I know they have them.
The archives?
Yeah. This radio show's sketchy. No, what was your question? Let's go on.
No, well, first of all, I know a lot of people are uncomfortable with our constant search for enlightenment and the truth. But maybe sketchy is a good adjective. But the path I was wishing to embark upon was that of meditating on an existence as a fish.
You can create all sorts of different worlds.
But have you ever imagined being a fish yourself?
I've turned on the television and there I've been on TV.
And searching for areas that hold particularly fish-centered stimuli.
Fish eat stuff?
And
then they poop. What?
Seeking to enjoy.
Yeah, that's enjoyable.
Seeking to enjoy a fish-centered lifestyle on some corner of the sea. A fish existence.
Sounds fishy.
Have you ever embarked upon such a meditation? Well, and then as my brother Ivan the Mellow so bluntly puts it, imagine being fried in a pan next to a bit of chicken.
Chicken's alright. I'd cook it, I mean.
Well, don't forget the garlic. It gives flavor.
But no, again, Robert, have you actually taken the time to meditate on these things?
I'm not gonna say any words. Words are fake. Wait, hold on. Well, it's on the station.
Around it goes down. Now, I'm curious if there Hello?
Robert? Robert?
Hello?
Yes. Hello, Robert. Marhaba.
Hello? What day is it?
Wagadufu.
Friday? Yeah, Friday.
It's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And Music for Human Beings is on Friday.
Yes, it is. It's a habit for me to turn into this radio show.
You said tune in, but you actually said turn in. Turn mm-hmm. into this radio show.
Sure. I'll buy that. I noticed I said that, actually.
It's perhaps a fortuitous slip of the tongue, indicating this oneness, that we all become one glorious whole. Like the fish.
I've never been a fish, I don't think.
But have you ever dreamt of becoming a fish?
Maybe a jellyfish?
Why a jellyfish?
Oh, no, all fish have electricity in them, right?
Well, just as we do.
Yeah, some of them even glow, don't they?
Well, many fish have...
Yeah, but no, I've never really been any fish or a jellyfish. I don't think I've ever been into water. I've dived into water, and then I kind of disappeared, but that's about it.
So, never actually having imagined being a fish or another animal at all?
I was never a part of a fish system.
Well, I recommend it. I've found that in my meditation, it's been enhanced by imagining being the things particularly that I eat. I find that it gives me a very, very sharpened view of existence.
A fish-induced trance, if you will.
A fish in...
Induced trance?
Certainly. I'm sure that, you know, consuming the right kind of fish could possibly cause a trance. But in particular, well, I think we're all aware that nothing makes a brilliant artist like imminent death. And contemplating death daily is one of many rituals that I think we should all take part in.
And of course...
Okay, for a while.
Eating fish amounts to transubstantiation.
Death is boring.
Death is boring?
Yeah.
But is life really much better than death?
Tastes good.
Depending on the death in question. I think for many, death is fear, and an inability to embrace this fear causes an early death.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Dostoevsky would say that...
I've tricked myself into all sorts of stuff.
This amounts to love and sex.
Death?
I've tricked myself into all sorts of stuff.
You have, Robert?
I've tricked myself into all sorts of stuff. I've tricked myself into all sorts of stuff. Hello?
Oh, we're here. We're here. I remember studying a film in the 50s, I believe, about a man who becomes a fish. And he won the Second World War.
Cool.
As a fish.
Okay.
A hyper-intelligent fish, of course.
Wow. Never seen it on television that I'm aware of. Right now.
Well, it's true. He was trained by the KGB.
Cool.
Well, in the film, he was an American fish.
Wow, man.
He was an American spy.
Who was trained by the KGB?
Masquerading as a fish.
Okay.
Well, that's difficult to imagine.
But whatever you want, baby.
Well, I mean, just imagine momentarily being forced to act like a fish and spend your whole day in the water in some sort of bizarre fish suit. Eating other fish, fending off larger fish, and just sinking like a rock, and catching worms. And do you think that fish become suicidal and find a line? You know, they find a fisherman and they say, okay, you know, let's go, eat me.
I don't understand the question that you just asked.
Yeah, well, it's very simple. Do you believe that fish become depressed and try to commit suicide? Well, it looks like we have another voice ready to join us on the fish question. Hello, you are on the air. Caller 2.
I would like to be such a fish. I would like to be such a fish, looking around immensely, looking for a mate.
Oh, you are, in particular, you were thinking of enjoying mating in the form of a fish.
I want to get myself some fish sticks.
Fish sticks.
Well,
I'm not sure if...
it's good for kids to take over-the-counter drugs. They should take real psychedelic drugs.
Like fish. Is Connor 2 still with us, or... I think that was the click of
death.
There
we go. I love you, America.
Yeah, the idea of the fish stick as a means for transmitting drugs or you know, causing a trance, I think it makes me hesitate. But also the idea of mating as a fish is not very appealing to me because, I believe that fish mate only in particular seasons, and with only a handful of neurons, don't really enjoy it. They simply sink.
I'm used to masturbating frequently, no matter what season, and I don't think I'll ever break that addiction.
But you are not a fish.
That's correct. You lost me there for a second. Forgot where we were. Sorry. Were you talking about breathing?
About breathing.
Yeah.
Like the horse.
I mean, everything's psychology.
Or the land cow.
Yeah, everything's pretend. Like, in a sense, everything looks like me. Even a gas pump looks like me. The cars that you're driving around in, everything we look in looks like me.
I've never even seen you, Robert. But that gives me an idea of what you must be like. If we could all meditate for a moment on what Robert must look like.
I mean...
Well, my meditation is yielding an amorphous blob, but it's not really convincing to me.
A blob?
Well... you know, how could you be tall and
a
still...
a metamorphosizing blob?
And still look like... yeah, how can you be tall and still look like a fire hydrant? And how can you be short and still look like a redwood?
Well, fire hydrants make dogs pretty confident. And I'm scared of a lot of dogs. Oh, man, wow.
Hold on. I'm receiving testimony from Joseph Smith.
I thought he said many dresses. I don't know.
So you believe that Well, I'm a little confused about your your statement there.
My state? Yeah.
What
continent are you in?
What?
The same one as all of them.
What? And so...
You can listen to the WMBR on the radio. Every internet. When you cook it.
I believe what he's saying is that he's an amoeba.
He's an amoeba.
I don't know what that is, but amoeba. What does it sound like?
Robert.
How do you look at language? Yeah, man. Whatever.
Well, Robert, do you have a dog?
Yeah, I've lost a dog.
Is it a poodle?
Oh, wait, no, I have no dogs, and I pretend I'm a dog. I'm sorry.
I once met a man who thought he was a tree. And meeting you, I wondered if you would have urinated on his leg.
I used to wish I was a tree.
Why a tree? See, I don't think that's sensible. I wish, perhaps, foolishly, that I were a fish, occasionally.
I don't know. Monks kind of look like fish. No, I'm just kidding. People do too. I mean, whatever.
Like monks?
I don't know. Yeah, like monks. Everybody looks like monks.
Well, one of the things that
even angry jerks look like monks.
I'm not sure. Have you ever met a monk? Robert?
No, yes. Yes, I have, actually. Where are you?
Where am I, or the monk?
Where are you?
Well, I'm here in Cambridge.
Right. No, you've never met a monk.
I've never met a monk?
Correct. I was crazy. When I called into this radio show, why I oughta.
See, now you're not sounding like a dog. You are sounding like a fish.
Am I?
Like every fish I've ever met.
Okay.
Well, and you, of course, Robert, are a native Bostonian.
I like it around this place.
And you eat fish?
I eat pretty much everything that I've been conditioned to eat because I like it. And I don't have any plans of stopping in the immediate future.
You eat horse?
No, I could... Well, are you talking about, like, drugs? I mean, like, probably when I'm, like, 50 again, yeah, I hope so.
No.
Yeah, I'm... whatever, buddy, whatever. Why don't you look in the archives, homo?
The archives?
Are you saying that you eat ostrich?
I've been here on this radio show before, buddy.
No.
I don't care. I'll talk about anything.
I remember you, Robert.
Okay.
That's why I called you Robert when you called instead of caller one.
Yeah. Oh, I thought MIT talked to people in my town. I wonder, is that true? Or did people in my town ever talk to MIT?
MIT, the Institute.
The Music for Human Being radio show? Maybe the Institute. I mean, you guys are controlled by the Institute, inevitably. Granted, we can't even say swear words, which would lead me totally away from any sort of, like, real, like, trance state on the radio.
Actually, we're controlled by mind, controlled by the central intelligence agency.
Well, that's a Russian belief that a Russian won't be able to overcome. But back again to the Institute.
You said "but" twice, and I was really bored.
But the FCC really is our parents here.
Correct.
I have transmogrified into a fish.
Just now. or earlier today.
Kurt Vonnegut said that word in one of his books. It means to make beautiful.
Robert, let's...
I love Kurt Vonnegut more than any words. I never really liked it. Meet him.
Well, Robert, let's take another voice in on this. Caller 4, welcome.
Hi, sir. How are you? This is Brenda from Seatown, longtime listener and supporter. And I like your show, I like to listen to you, talk about stuff.
Thank you, Brenda.
Oh, you're welcome. One thing, though, is there any possible way you can stop talking to this stoner, Robert, so we can hear more of you? Well, or maybe,
intelligent people can call? And the only people that call are cats.
Well,
Robert, all you're going to get is a cat.
We find Robert very spiritually interesting, and we're fortunate, I think, to have him join us, once every few weeks to discuss whatever is on his mind. But any caller that would like to is free to call in and discuss alternate existences as fish or the equivalence of lakes to duck tea. And so on, now or any week.
Libra is what? Air and water?
Air and war? Libra?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not an astrologer.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to remember if my own sign was water,
I can't remember mine either, what it really is. I'm a Virgo, but I can't remember much about it.
I'm Cancer, which all I know is that, or the only horoscope I've ever believed is that people with the sign Cancer probably have cancer.
I would have never guessed you were a Cancer, Dr. Jollett.
Yeah, the crab.
Wow.
Okay, well, listen, I'm going to get off the phone now. Would rather hear you talk, doctor, than this guy who definitely has an alternative universe, which is probably called overdosing. So that's just my opinion. Okay?
Thank you for...
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brenda.
Bye.
That was Brenda, caller number 4.
That's so sad.
Well, everyone's entitled to their opinion, I suppose.
No, I have a jerky voice, though. I do. It comes conditioned to me. It's not relaxing to hear on the radio. It's not therapeutic.
Well, I think part of that is...
I don't really like that in society, so, I wouldn't want to hear it on the radio. But, I emailed that Arthur guy, who's not the greatest guy on Earth. I'll talk crap about people, so whatever, I'm the same as everybody, too.
Arthur Rainbow Beam?
Sure.
Oh, I have a great deal of respect for him.
Pyramid scheme.
He's very, very, very relaxed and very, very calm and very, very zen. All about him. I've learned a lot
from... What state did he grow up in? Like, in terms of... Not mental state, but state of the country.
I think he was born in Oregon.
He was very dodgy about questions to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think he's natively an Oregonian, but I'm not sure if he...
I didn't ask anything about spirituality particularly, so that's the thing which I'm kind of, wondering about dodging, so, Yeah, whatever, whatever, and whatever. Yeah, great.
Well,
MIT is so, college, every college is just, all you people in your learning, your education, money is the biggest, joke I've ever seen. I wouldn't even want to move to a city and meet people. Never would I want to do that.
But you are a fish in the waters of Boston.
I'm not from Boston. I've been there. I even lived there when I was a little kid, which is a lot more than a lot of people have. I mean, whatever, there's probably some, like a canonical aspect of, like, college. Not even. College kids don't support shit. College kids just make the economy higher. Weed doesn't produce shit.
Well, unfortunately, we've had to take Robert off the air.
Robert did bring up a great point about fish, that is, about procreation.
The fish do procreate. It's part of their existence. Because they are born, therefore they must procreate, and they must die.
What kind of protection is available?
I think there is no protection. In fact, to be honest, I think that fish emit they emit hormones and so on into the open ocean. So, which is much more... one could imagine that a disease could ravage an entire population of fish quite easily because of this transmission method.
So you mean children do not even know about their fathers? And...
Yeah, entire schools of fish may have been fathered by a single fish. It's possible. This is one way of the guaranteed existence, continued existence of the fish.
And of course, polygamy is not prohibited.
Even if it were prohibited, there would be absolutely no way of enforcing the prohibition. Fish are very recalcitrant.
Even in the state of Utah?
Even in Utah. Let's take another caller. This caller, welcome to the air.
How you doing?
Very, very well, caller. Marhaban.
We're far away.
Wait.
And I saw a blue fish along the way. It crossed my path once in my life.
You met the blue fish in a recurring vision.
I have.
And the blue fish met you.
It must have, has crossed my path really quick. Fish, when they cross my path, they don't go that fast.
And were you in the water, or was he on the brick road?
I saw a lot of bubbles.
Lots of bubbles.
A lot of water.
But they could have been balloons.
Well, a lot of white balloons. They look like balloons, but they're bubbles.
And it's interesting because, you know, people have often gone into the water with an air source, but it's rare that fish will come out of the water with a water source.
But they jump.
They jump, but only they.
It's like
a person jumping into the water. They jump, and then they come out. But if you want, you can take a source of oxygen with you and stay in the water for many hours. But it's rare that a fish will come out of the water with a source of water and stay in the air for an extended period. I think this all comes back to our history coming out of the water onto land. You know, historically, our ancestors were whales.
They had 2 feet at that time.
And caller, if you could please move away from your radio or turn it down? We're having some feedback here. Let's briefly take another call as well. Caller 8, you are on the air.
Hello.
Yes, caller 8, welcome.
Hello, this is Aurora.
Welcome, Aurora. Yes, Aurora, welcome.
How are your journeys?
Well, very, very brief and basically to and from the radio station and my meditation lounge. Thank you, Aurora. And how are your journeys in the... I believe you are traveling in the southernmost tip of Chile. Aurora?
Yes. Yes, I actually left Chile recently. I'm now traveling across the... I actually have no idea where I am. There's a mountain range next to me. So I assume somewhere along the west coast of South America.
You are.
My journeys are great. I've decided to go without maps in order to learn to understand the Earth as a more cohesive whole, rather as, you know, than as parts.
And this has helped you in your travels to enjoy a more spiritual traveling experience, but of course you are lost and you don't know where you are.
Of course, that would be your interpretation, Dr. Jalis. I choose to see the good in everything
so
that happens to me.
You are like a fish in water, and you travel where the water tells you to travel.
Exactly. I find that this sort of flow aids me in my search for true meaning in the earth. I believe that this flow that I'm following, I'm in a stream which I can't observe, and perhaps that will help me in the future to reach the place where I'm meant to reach.
And that's where we're all going. It's really all about that journey.
The journey, yes. It's much more vital than the final result. I called in. I was... tuning in for the past few minutes, and I noticed you were discussing fish being displaced out of water and humans' ability to take a part of our nourishing air with us when we dive in. And I believe this reaches back to some theory that I've made regarding singing fish and singing humans, as you recall, I'm a voice therapist. Fish actually sing on a much more content level than humans do. And it's something that I've actually used with my patients when they're feeling unsatisfied with their lives. So I try to immerse them in the world of the fish.
And you change the frequency of their experience?
Yes, because fish are content to stay in their own media. And when they're in their own media, they're quite violent and they flop about, while humans are not quite satisfied and tend to be able to change from one media to another, although staying in water for very, very long can be extremely harmful.
There we are, changing our medium, changing our frequencies, and enjoying that other experience. Thank you for your call, Aurora. Unfortunately, we are reaching the end of the hour.
I hope all is well with you then. Namaste.
My salam. Well, Ivan, thank you for your mellowness and for joining me this evening.
I'm a fish out of water.
Well, hopefully you will once again find that water. And Ma'asalama from Dr. Jaris Sakran here at WMBR in Cambridge, 88.1 FM. We are Music for Human Beings, New Age Talk Radio, every Friday at 7 p.m. Thanks again to all our callers. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Masarama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Good evening, Boston, Cambridge, whoever may be listening. You are listening to WMBR 88.1 FM Cambridge. The first on your FM dials, we'd like to say. WMBR, MIT's public radio station. That was Music for Human Beings, and you are currently listening to Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Proving to you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look, and I'm trying to show you where to look. Kind of take you all over the place. Some bands you may have heard of with songs you haven't, and some bands you probably haven't heard of as well. Start off this week with a band I played last week as well, or it might have been 2 weeks ago. A band by the name of The Eels. I've really been liking lately. Been around since about the mid-90s, but I've just started getting into them. I think you'll like that. And then have some Death Cab, Flaming Lips, Gnarls Barkley. Flaming Lips lately had that movie that finally came out around November, December-ish. Or it might have been a little bit later, that was Christmas on Mars, that people have been waiting for like last 7-8 years.